Father Johnny Harden, a Jesuit in the tradition of his father in faith, St. Ignatius, is undoubtedly one of the best known and most highly respected contemporary theologians in the English-speaking world. The important and numerous books he has written grace the shelves of reputable libraries all over the world. His books will also be found in thousands upon thousands of homes. He has been a consultant to the Holy See for 23 years. The Catechism of the Catholic Church can claim him as one of its consultants. A list of the prodigious use of his God-given talents could go on and on. But let us now hear the clear, constant, unchangeable teaching of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church on capital punishment. Father Harden.
Suppose we begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Mother of eternal life, pray for us. Our subject for today is capital punishment. As we begin our reflections, there might be some value in asking ourselves, why talk? Why talk about capital punishment? There are many good reasons. If we are to understand capital punishment, we must first understand the meaning of punishment, and behind punishment, the meaning of sin. Again, there is a remarkable inconsistency in many quarters between the permissiveness of killing innocent people as in the murder of unborn children, and the opposition, often from the same quarters, to capital punishment. A correct understanding of capital punishment will give us a deeper insight into the meaning of sin and the relationship of suffering as the divinely ordained retribution for sin. Finally, the more clearly we see that capital punishment as such is justifiable, the better we shall appreciate the history of unjust capital punishments over the centuries. My plan for this conference is to answer a series of questions and then close with a summary conclusion on one of the most controversial subjects in social morality in the modern world. Our questions. What is capital punishment? What is the teaching of sacred scripture on capital punishment in the Old and New Testaments? What is the teaching of the Catholic Church on capital punishment? What are the grounds for opposition to capital punishment? Then at great length, what are the reasons for justifying capital punishment? And then a closing summary conclusion. What is capital punishment? Capital punishment is the execution of a criminal under death sentence imposed by competent public authority. Unlike the act of a private person, exacting revenge for a wrong done to oneself or one's family. Capital punishment manifests the community's will to vindicate its laws and its system of justice. The term capital punishment derives from the Latin caput, a word used by the Romans variously to mean the head, the life, or the civil rights of an individual. Roman law also knew the death penalty as the highest penalty. In addition to death, Roman law looked on perpetual hard labor and banishment, denial of fire, water, and shelter as lesser capital punishments. Banishment meant, in effect, a grave loss of one's civil rights or status. During the Roman Republic, death was imposed mainly for crimes among the military. Under the emperors, it became increasingly common as a penalty for a much wider range of offenses. Ancient Greece and Rome generally looked on homicide, treason, and sacrilege as capital offenses. Later Roman law put other crimes, such as arson and false coining, in the same category. In modern times, however, the term capital punishment simply means the death penalty inflicted by the political authority of the state. Capital punishment is understood in the Old Testament. We know from ancient history that capital punishment existed in the legal codes of all the ancient Middle Eastern kingdoms. These codes commonly prescribed death for homicide and for some religious or sexual offenses. When we come to the Jewish people in the Old Testament declared, I quote, that whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. And further, I quote, you shall not let the sorcerers live. Anyone who lies with an animal shall be put to death. Whoever sacrifices to any god, except to the Lord alone, shall be doomed. The law of the Israelites, at one time or another, listed as capital crimes homicide, bearing false witness in a capital charge, kidnapping, insult or injury to one's parent, sexual immorality, witchcraft or magic, idolatry, blasphemy, and sacrilege. Hebrew law clearly distinguished between voluntary and involuntary manslaughter. I quote, when a man kills another for maliciously scheming to do so, you must take him even from my altar and put him to death. He likewise embraced what is called the Lex Talionis,
coat, avenge me in shoes, you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand. The quotations that I made are from the book of Exodus. It is generally understood that this principle of retribution was expressed not only to sanction stern penalties, but also to protect offenders from excessive punishments. When the Old Testament prescribed death, the sentence was more often carried out by stoning, although hanging, beheading, strangulation, and burning were also used. So far, the Old Testament. Now, the understanding of capital punishment in the New Testament. The New Testament basis for approving capital punishment is the teaching of St. Paul, especially in his letter to the Romans. He told the Christian converts of Roman Empire about the rights of civil authority. I quote St. Paul, "The state is God's minister to you for good. But if you do what is evil, fear. For not without reason does the state carry the sword. The state is God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath." St. Paul, chapter 13, verse 4. Now, the teaching of the Catholic Church over the centuries, this traditional concept, as expressed both in the Old and New Testaments, of the state as the upholder of justice and of the state's competence to punish even by death. This tradition has been upheld by the Catholic Church. Among the errors of the Waldenses, condemned by the Church in the early 13th centuries, was a proposition where they denied the lawfulness of capital punishment. However, in modern times, Pope Pius XII synthesized the Church's unchanging tradition when he defended capital punishment, and I quote Pope Pius XII, "The Church, in her teaching and practice, has maintained this double type of penalty, medicinal and vindicative, and that is more in conformity with what the sources of revelation and traditional doctrine teach regarding the coercive power of legitimate human authority. It is not sufficient to reply, to say that these sources contain only thoughts which correspond to historical circumstances, circumstances of the time, and that a general and abiding validity can therefore be attributed to these principles. The reason is that the sources and the living teaching power do not refer to the specific content of individual juridical prescriptions or norms, but rather to the very foundation of penal power and its inherent finality. This, in turn, is as little determined by circumstances of time and culture as the nature of man and human society decreed by nature itself. Unquote. Pope Pius XII. He is defending the Church's teaching over the centuries of capital punishment. The right which the state has from God to exert coercive power, even the power of execution of those who have been justly convicted and condemned of grave crimes. Two words in the teaching of Pius XII should be explained. They are his words, medicinal and vindicative. It is essential for the correct understanding of capital punishment to understand what the Church means by the right which the state has to inflict medicinal and vindicative punishment. First, medicinal means remedial. Capital punishment is considered by the Church to be legitimate as a deterrent to the commission of grave crimes. Certainly, capital punishment is not remedial in the loose sense of converting the condemned criminal, who by definition is due to be executed. Yet, as the Church's history shows, condemned criminals facing execution have been remarkably converted morally. A priest friend of mine, for 17 years, chaplain at Ohio State University, told me not a single criminal due for execution whom he counseled and worked with, not one died estranged from God. In other words, strange words to use, medicinal, remedial, capital punishment has a remarkable power of converting those who face the certain prospect of death to make their peace with God and enter eternity in God's friendship. Then the word vindicative. It does not mean vindictive. Rather, in the Church's vocabulary, vindicative means that since a grave crime has been committed, God has given the state the right to punish a criminal offense against society. In other words, two terms go together: capital offense and capital punishment. And as Catholics, we believe that the state has the right from God to inflict punishment according to the will of God, including capital punishment for capital crimes. Now, a brief word on some of the grounds for opposition to capital punishment. Over the years, in studying the subject and teaching it, I have found that most of the objections to capital punishment are based on humanitarian grounds. Totally understandable, perfectly human. Certainly, capital punishment is a dire penalty. Moreover, as we know from the Gospels and from the history of Christianity, the followers of Christ are to be merciful. And as we know Christ himself, as recorded in the Gospels, well, the adulteress was about to be stoned, consistent with the Old Testament capital punishment for adultery. Christ asked her accusers, "How many of you are without sin?" And whatever Jesus wrote on the ground, it was enough to have all the woman's accusers go away. Then Christ told her, "Do not sin anymore." Of course, we should be merciful. But we must distinguish, as we'll see in our explanation, in defending the justification of capital punishment, we must carefully distinguish between being merciful to the criminal and being just to the state and to the people. However, my reading over the years of objections to capital punishment, I found that the most serious objections are those based on the history of unjust executions that, as we know, go back to the earliest days of the abuse of political authority. Certainly, the most notorious execution in world history was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Yes, certainly, the state has, dear Lord, how it has abused its authority to inflict the death penalty. But the abuse of authority is not the same as denying the existence of the authority.